Thanks, Dan. Good morning, everyone. This is the last presentation topic of the day. I've been closing out council meetings with these council planning updates. This one is a little bit lengthier, even though it's January, but the point here was to try to take what the council decided for work priorities from the December meeting and work with council staff to turn those into actual work plans and try to put them together early in the year to provide everyone an outlook of how we're planning to accomplish priorities over the course of the year. So at the last council meeting, there were some questions around the council NOAA action process and timeline, and kind of maybe a lack of clarity or understanding about what happens after the council takes a final action, how much time that takes, the steps in that part of the process that really happen behind the scenes. So we put together this sort of flow chart visual here to give an idea of the steps in the process for an action and the amount of time that each of those steps takes. So starting all the way over at the left, in our process, the New England Council process, currently we approve work priorities at our December meeting. And that's really the first indication of an activity that we're going to work on, whether it be an amendment, a framework, a specifications package, or some other type of management measures. So we set those priorities. Then the PDT works kind of behind the scenes a little bit with the technical staff from the council defining the scope and objectives, draft those objectives, typically bring it to an advisory panel and a plan committee for review, and that takes a couple of months. And then that would go to the council, and usually what we call that is council initiating an action and fully defining the scope, setting a problem statement, understanding the objectives. So we'd call that meeting one. After that, there's alternatives that are developed, analyses that are conducted by the plan development team, any other technical input that we need to get. There's refinement of the analyses for council consideration. A decision document is drafted. There's more rounds of input from the advisors and the committees. And then it would go to another council update. Depending on the action, what it is that we're doing, the amount of information that's included, this can take anywhere from 6 up to 18 months. As I mentioned, that would then go to the council for an update. We're calling that meeting two. Often this is where we take final action, a two-meeting process for frameworks that set specifications or management measures that we call, quote, frameworkable. So you can think about this process in terms of scallops or groundfish, where we often set specifications but make other small adjustments to management measures in a framework. You could think of this in terms of the specifications that we do, where we typically go to the council earlier in the year, define what we're going to include, and then specifications, final action is at that meeting too. After the council takes action, this is the back end that I think we're trying to provide a little bit more understanding about what these steps are. The staff completes a document and we call it preliminary submission. So these are the documents that live on our website, and these are the documents that can be up to, you know, hundreds of pages long. So a framework or an amendment, this includes all of the alternatives, the analysis around the alternatives, the NEPA analysis, and then there's several other applicable laws that we have to make sure that all of our actions adhere to. So when you look at those documents, all of that information is in there. So that's why it takes a couple of months between the council taking action and the staff submitting these preliminary documents. They're quite lengthy, they're quite technical. Council staff works back and forth in coordination with GARFO staff on these submissions. Once we make a preliminary submission, then the GARFO staff review it and identify edits. And there's a couple of levels of these edits. Some are called substantive, and that it's kind of an indication that the action wouldn't be approved unless we make these edits. Others are more suggestive, and depending on timing, start of the fishing year, any anticipated delays, sometimes those suggestive edits are dealt with. Sometimes we decide to pass on some of those. After we've gone through these preliminary submissions and the reviews, there's a process called regulation deeming. So this is actually changing the text that lives in the regulations. That has to come, it comes from GARFO to the council staff. We review that language that GARFO staff has put together. The council chair has to then review those regulations to deem that they are within the intent of the council's action. we sign off on that. And then continue to move forward with the edits on that preliminary submission for what we call final submission. This overall process can take up to 8 months or more, depending on the extent of the action. If there's, you know, in the regulation deeming, it is not meeting the intent of the council. The overarching analysis that needs to be completed and the complexity of that. So council staff is constantly working after final action in collaboration with GARFO staff to complete the documents and submit them as quickly as we can, but it can be a lengthy process. After it leaves the GARFO office, it goes down to NOAA headquarters, and that's where rulemaking with public comment occurs. I mentioned yesterday in my executive director report that all of the executive directors from all the regional councils sent a letter to Secretary of Commerce and NOAA Fisheries Assistant Administrator in December, emphasizing the need for timely review and rulemaking from the headquarters office. Mr. Pentney also mentioned that once it leaves GARFO, it's out of our region. It's no longer in the hands of the council or the regional office. And so we have seen these extensive delays around Framework 69 and herring specifications, just in the most recent delays here. Typically, this process really, you know, can be completed in a few months, but we've seen these delays taking up to, you know, 8, 9, 10 months in total. So the reason for presenting all of this was to just try to provide a bit more clarity around what happens after the final action and why it takes multiple months, and just make sure everyone understands that council staff is constantly working in those months. So I know there were some questions in December about why it would be challenging to schedule an SSC meeting or why there could be a delay in submitting a framework if we added another step in the process. This is why, because all of these things have to be completed. There's a sequence to them and they take time. So now I'm going to go through the priorities that were identified by the council for 2026. Thanks to council staff who have put together work plans for the different FMPs and topics. We'll go through each of them. We have the council staff here in the office. I'm going to walk through the work plans, but brought in the experts to answer any of your questions specific to any of the plans. So we'll walk through these one by one, and then staff can answer questions if you haven't. So just to remind everyone, the 2026 council priorities included what we called required tasks. So these were really any fishery management plan actions, specifications, required reviews, things that we had paused and needed to pick back up again. In addition to those required tasks, we have ongoing activities with committees and interagency efforts. We also have the Inflation Reduction Act initiatives, which, thanks to council staff and contractors, presented a lengthy description of all of those complex interrelated projects yesterday. It's a lot of work that's ongoing. We also have the Executive Order 14276, which is the Seafood Competitiveness Executive Order, the topics that were identified in response to that that we will be picking up this year. In addition to all of that work that the council was aware of and voted on, I mentioned yesterday that now we are being tasked to consider this risk value prioritization process to narrow the scopes of NIMS management and science. I mentioned there will be a regional working group put together to address that, with work happening at least in the first half of 2026. I also mentioned that we have an additional evaluation of the executive order public comments and consideration of any revisions to our work plan. That needs to be completed by the end of April. And we have continued evolution of our NEPA, the law and the requirements and the analyses that we do. And that's that has been ongoing for the last year and will continue until we have more formal guidance coming out of the integration of NEPA and the Magnuson Act. So as I walk through each of the work plans, this is just a little key. Blue boxes are staff-led activities, council staff-led activities. Purple boxes are activities in coordination with our NOAA partners and with PDT involvement. And green boxes have been identified as external activities, so mostly contract-level work, but with staff and PDT involvement. Specifically, an example of this is the IRA projects that Michelle Bachmann presented yesterday, where we have a lot of contracted work, but we also have project oversight teams that include staff, as well as a staff lead for each one of those contracts. So starting off with Groundfish, I'm not going to walk through every single detail of every single work plan. This is trying to just give the council an idea of, on the left, under council priority, the first column is what was identified by the council in December to move forward and complete work in 2026. And then across the top is the quarterly outlook of how this work will progress. We are working towards final submission of the actions that were decided by the council last year. So Amendment 25 and Framework 72, we will have those submissions completed in the first quarter of this year, hoping for implementation by May 1st on both of those. But again, it's once it leaves the region, it's subject to any potential timeline that is set by NOAA. We will do the program reviews for Amendment 23 and Redfish. We were hoping to complete those reviews and bring for council approval by the fall. Once those are completed, the council can consider if they want to take any action on Amendment 23 changes or the Redfish exemption program changes. Those could be considered to be prioritized for 2027. The ABC control rule, which is Framework 68, is that is still in development in coordination with the risk policy work. We are planning to finish that this year and take final action in September. It would be a risk policy integrated control rule that then we would plan to use for development of specifications this year that would be implemented next year. Framework 7X there is the X is that we just don't know the number yet, but that would be the annual framework to set specifications. Atlantic cod management, as Bachmann described yesterday, that we are hoping to pivot this as an IRA project to not just focus on cod, but look more overarching at groundfish management with the inclusion of new cod stocks. Whitehake rebuilding was something that was added by the council as a priority in the December meeting. So we consider some looking at the rebuilding plan for Whitehake later in 2026. And just for stock assessments, we will have Georges Bank haddock reviewed in June. And then Gulf of Maine haddock, American Place, pollock, witch flounder, and halibut assessments or data updates by September. In between that, we will have our U.S.-Canada process. For scallops, fairly typical year in terms of submitting the action framework 40, which was decided in December. Submit that in the first couple of months of this year. Preliminary submission is already completed. Regulation deeming is completed. And then developing the 2026 action for specifications in 2027 and 2028. It will be the field season, development of the specifications. The council prioritized adding measures related to regional days at sea and Northern Gulf of Maine sub areas for that action this year. The scallop RSA work, we are happy that the NOFO was published. That deadline for applications is in March. And so as Mr. Pentney mentioned yesterday, it's unclear exactly how that may impact the 2027 NOFO, which we would have anticipated coming out later this year. That may not. So some of that RSA timeline may be shifted. We also put out an RFP just earlier this week for developing new scallop projection methods. That solicitation is open until the middle of February. We will hire a contractor, and that contract work will be conducted throughout 2026. Thanks to the scallop team for presenting the LAGC IFQ program review yesterday. That is completed now. And moving through the remainder of 2026 after the first quarter, we'll be looking at strategic plan implementation, the scallop strategic plan, and priority development for 2027. For herring, the council prioritized combining river herring and shad measures with a specifications action this year. We will get a management track stock assessment, which will be reviewed in June. So that will form the basis of specifications for 2027 to 2031. In the first part of the year, the plan development team will be working on river herring and shad measures, any new analysis that's available, updating information that we had previously picked up and then had to pause under Amendment 10 last year. So we're looking towards one large action to include the new management track assessment information, specifications, and river herring and shad measures. For monkfish and skate, council prioritized scoping for an IFQ program. The way that we have talked about this on staff is that in the first quarter, the plan development team will draft the scoping document. It will come to the New England Council and then the Mid-Atlantic Council in April because monkfish is jointly managed. Councils will review and hopefully approve the scoping document. We will conduct the scoping meetings in the month of May. We're currently planning for 3 in-person meetings to span from Maine to the New Jersey area, and including an additional webinar meeting. We would bring the results from the scoping back to the councils in June and July, and then await next steps from the councils as to where we would go with that scoping information. The council also prioritized review of the catch per unit effort work for monkfish. That review has been scheduled. Excuse me, we will be using an SSC subpanel, and that will be conducted in March. Finally, to note that the IRA work around evaluation of joint management and our case study, joint governance of monkfish and skate, that work is ongoing. As Ms. Bachman described yesterday, there is a staff-to-staff governance workshop scheduled for late February, and monkfish will be discussed in terms of the joint approach that we have with the Mid-Atlantic, and we will be also considering the idea of a joint FMP around monkfish and skate. For smallmouth multi-species, we have an action this year. We need to develop specifications for 2027 to 2031. So in the first part of the year, we'll be developing the scope of that action. It will obviously include specifications. It may include other management measures. We will be looking at prior research related to exemption areas. There was a lot of discussion from the council about possibly revising exemption areas, both for small mesh as well as dogfish. We explained that revising those exemption areas really actually has to fall under a groundfish priority, so we don't anticipate revising the exemption areas this year, but we can certainly take an evaluation of them and understand what existing information is out there, what new information may be needed to support a future revision. Also, as we are moving forward with our risk policy, we are going to try to understand how risk policy would be able to apply to small mesh. We are developing a new ABC control rule for groundfish as part of the IRA project. But in terms of small mesh, we have a different type of control rule in place now. It's already kind of a risk-based PSTAR approach, so we're going to be understanding how the new risk policy would integrate with that type of a control rule and using whiting as the test case. For habitat, I won't go through this in too much detail because there was a presentation yesterday. You initiated the 2026 EFH designation framework that will take time throughout the majority of the year with anticipated final action later in the fall, in September. Additionally, the council prioritized evaluation of the Great South Channel habitat management area and the surf clam exemption areas. There is an EFP, there's research currently ongoing that's anticipated to conclude at the end of March, and that research group should be preparing a report on the research, hoping to have that available by June so that then council staff and PDT can review that information, the new research, and do an evaluation of those surf clam exemption areas. And as always, we will maintain our engagement with ocean planning, offshore activities, marine user activities. Jonathan just showed this, so I'm not going to walk through it in detail, just to say that there will be quite a bit of work focused on risk policy in the first half of the year. There are several staff members involved with this, and several council members, as well as SSC members. So this is a big lift that will go through June. And I'm not going to walk through all of the IRA initiatives again. Staff and contractor gave a very nice presentation yesterday. Just as a reminder that it is a large portfolio of interrelated work. We do have contracts issued and underway. Some continued planning needed for all of the remaining initiatives. It takes multiple meetings to coordinate within and across organizations for these initiatives. We are trying to target outreach and presentations to specific groups to align with those project milestones. In terms of staff effort, the staff-directed work is all in progress. There's activity planned throughout this calendar year. And as I mentioned in my executive director report, we will be requesting an extension of this grant through the end of 2027. The executive order work that we prioritize for 2026 is highlighted here in green. These were the six items that we identified in our response to the executive order, and specifically the green items are the ones that we initiated and felt confident we could do some work on this year. So that's modifications to vessel baseline restrictions. We have not started that yet. That will have to be conducted in coordination with the Mid-Atlantic Council and the regional office. Monkfish management modifications. This one was deprioritized by the council, but the reason why we deprioritized it is because we prioritized scoping for an IFQ for the monkfish fishery. So we're just kind of considering these things to be in coordination. And fishery management plan revisions. And we are still considering the best way to do this to remove redundant, duplicative, outdated regulations. For upcoming events, there is a lot going on. Somehow this year, January seemed busier than ever before. So upcoming, we have under IRA initiatives, just run through these again. I know that they were covered yesterday, but the governance staff-to-staff meeting in South Carolina, February 24th to 26th, the SSC Dynamic Reference Points Workshop, June 1st and 2nd, and then the larger governance regional workshop in October or November. All of these project oversight teams are meeting regularly to support the different IRA initiatives, and we also have several staff members serving on project oversight teams for the Mid-Atlantic Council's initiatives. In terms of staff activities, we have a staff offsite meeting scheduled for February 10th. There's a GIS training internally on February 18th. The Cooperative Research Summit is being held on February 26th. Maine Fishermen's Forum in early March, March 5th to 7th. The Boston Seafood Expo, March 15th to 17th. There's a socioeconomic workshop that will include members of our SSC social science subpanel and staff in later March. And we have scheduled a staff-to-staff meeting between our council staff and GARFO staff in early June. And finally, just looping back to where we started yesterday with grant activities, the final report for the previous cooperative agreement award, progress report was due at the end of January. That's been submitted. We will be working on the closeout, which is due in April. We have we will be asking for a no-cost extension on the IRA award. We'll be getting that done this week, next week. And then budget planning. As I mentioned, we have some surplus funds right now in our operational awards that we will be working towards a spend plan, and we'll be doing that in the month of March. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll take any questions.
Wow. It's a lot on your plate, a lot to digest. Like Dr. O'Keefe mentioned, we do have council staff around here if there are any specific questions to the FMPs. But I will open it up right now to council members. Any questions for Dr. O'Keefe? Terry Alexander.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Kate, so the IFQ, I'm sure that you've contacted Washington to find out if we're going to be required to do some kind of a referendum. And wondering if the council will be running that referendum, and if the council gets to choose, not choose, but pick out whether you're a crewman or and what qualifies as a crewman, if we do pick a crewman, or a permit holder for that referendum.
Dr. O'Keefe?
Thanks, Terry. Yes, we would have to do a referendum. The remainder of your questions, I do not have a clear answer to. I would ask Mr. Pentney or Attorney McDonald's, but I also don't want to put them on the spot today if they don't have the answers to those. I think those are the details that would need to be determined. We've never done it before in the region. It's I will kick it to Mr. Pentney.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. Yeah, I mean, we would have to go do a little bit of research and pull together, you know, the guidelines. It's been a long time since you know, we went down the road of figuring out what would how the referendum would be conducted, how we would evaluate crew. You know, we do have a requirement in this region to consider crew, and then, as Kate said, clearly we would have to do a referendum before moving forward, or at least before submitting an amendment with an IFQ system. So there is some work to do. We can start pulling together that information, you know, for maybe for an upcoming Monkfish Committee meeting or something.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Any other questions for Dr. O'Keefe on council planning? Seeing none from the council, is there anyone from the public that would like to speak to the council planning process that we have outlined for us for the next calendar year? Seeing none, well, I think we know what our charge is for next year. It's going to be chock full of lots of stuff to do, not only for council staff, but obviously for council members and committee members and AP members, as we have a lot of meetings to look forward to for 2026. Thank you very much, Dr. O'Keefe. We are now into our other business. I will now look to the rest of the council. Does anyone want to bring anything to the table during other business? Going once, going twice. Thank you very much. Seeing nothing, no hands raised for other business, this now comes to our favorite part of the day. I'd like to call adjournment. I would like to thank all the council staff. Did a great job here. You know, this was a new process. We haven't done a webinar version of a council meeting in a number of years. Obviously, a little hiccups along the way because the last time we did it, we were in a different platform, so something new for all of us. Once again, thank council staff, thanks to council members, thank the public whose participation in this process. And with that, I will call the council meeting closed. Thank you very much.